G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And this is episode 224, brought to you by our Patreon members community. Without the support of our patrons, you would not be listening to this podcast each and every week. I really hope that if you do listen to the podcast, that you would consider helping us bring it to you each and every week by supporting our Patreon. And what's in it for you, I hear you ask. Well, quite a lot, actually. You get a lot of support back. There's two Zoom accountability meetings each month where members can come in and talk about their fasting and help each other troubleshoot issues and get some tips and tweaks from very experienced fasters who are also members of the Patreon community. Each week we have bonus content, bonus podcasts, there's audio series, 5-minute focus topics, and much more to help you stay on the path with your own intermittent fasting lifestyle. You can go to the show notes there and look at the link to join. You'll find it there at www.patreon.com/thefastinghighway. Okay, folks, let's get on with today's podcast. I'm delighted to be speaking to Cindy Hallett. And Cindy lives in Cheyenne, Wyoming with her husband and family. And over the years, Cindy's had trials and tribulations with her weight, like a lot of us have, as you'll hear about in this podcast. And she recently survived a major health scare. But she's also had a fantastic journey with the first year of her intermittent fasting lifestyle, as you're about to hear. And I don't want to spoil the story, so I'll let Cindy tell it. Here she is, the amazing Cindy Hallett. Oh, g'day, Cindy, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast. And thank you for joining me there.
Thank you, Graham. It's good to be here.
Good to have you there, all the way from cowboy country there. Then a lot of movies that I've watched in my childhood were filmed there, of course. And it's a great thrill to have you here. And you're a very inspiring member of our Fasting Highway Facebook group. And I'm delighted to talk to you. But Cindy, for the people around the world and over 50 countries listening to you today, if you wouldn't mind just telling us a bit about yourself and maybe a bit of backstory and just how you found your way to intermittent fasting.
Okay. If you can talk about anybody, it's usually yourself. So I was born in California as a chubby child. I was chubby my whole life. I had rheumatic fever as a little girl, so I never really got into exercise. Because when you have that, you can't exercise. Probably started my first diet when I was 12. My mom took me to Weight Watchers. Didn't lose anything. and it just kind of spiraled from there. Just never really having any diet at all succeed. So when I was a teenager, I was teased a lot, but I was always confident in myself. I loved people. I didn't really mind being teased because I knew I was chubby. And it didn't bother me, which is good because, you know, a lot of times when you're overweight, you don't have any confidence in yourself. And it's not your fault. It's just how society makes people feel. So when I graduated from high school, it was kind of a traumatic experience. It was some family issues. I graduated high school about 180 pounds. So I'm 5'2 and 180 pounds. I don't know what that is in kilograms, but it's probably maybe 80 kilograms or something like that. And due to this traumatic experience, I dropped down to 150 pounds. And that was the lowest I was ever in my life. And I met my husband when I was 19 and we got married when I was 20. So that's 44 years we've been married. And as soon as we got married, I sort of started gaining the weight back. I guess I'm a pretty good cook, and he likes to eat. So I got up to about 180 again in about 3 years after marriage. And then we decided that we would try to have a family. And so he was in the military, and we moved around a lot. And so I would go from doctors, and back then they would just tell you, oh, you're overweight. You're not going to get pregnant because you're overweight. So I tried saying, okay, well, how do I lose weight? I've tried every diet under the sun and nothing works. And so about 8 years of trying to have children, we finally adopted a little boy in Romania. So we have a son and two beautiful grandchildren. And then I was about, we moved to Cheyenne in 1992, was our last duty station. I found a doctor and they told me, oh, they looked at my record and they said, oh, you have PCOS. And I said, what is PCOS? And they said, it's polycystic ovarian syndrome. So that's why you never had children, because I've never ovulated. And so they said, you need to lose weight. And it's like, okay, well, I've tried that for 35 years and nothing ever worked. So about that time, back at work, I worked for the Air Force for 35 years in the housing department. And I was about 32 years old and I got up to 200 pounds, which I did look on here. And 200 pounds is 90 kilograms. And I was 90 kilograms probably for 30 years, maybe. Yeah. So I never was a yo-yo dieter. I mean, I would try diets. I went with my friend to a Weight Watchers. I did it faithfully for 16 weeks with her, and I gained 3 pounds. And she lost probably 15. And so I never yo-yoed, which is a good thing. But in December of 22, I fell and in my office and I broke my ankle. I broke a bone on each side of my ankle. I had surgery, had plates put in, and I wasn't able to move for like maybe 2 months, because it was a really bad break. And I went from 200 pounds to 219 pounds just in those 2 months. And when I started to be able to put pressure on it, I decided that, this 20 pounds is horrible, and I'm not going to be able to walk very well. So I did go to my doctor. And so she it was a new doctor, and I visited with her and told her all my symptoms, and I told her that I was diagnosed with PCOS. And she's like, oh, I have PCOS. And she was trim and looked healthy, and she said, what you need to do is have some hormone therapy because you're 62 or 63, and you need to do intermittent fasting. And I said, okay, what is, I mean, I've saw a few things on intermittent fasting, but she said you need to fast at least 16 hours a day. You can eat what you like. I mean, just eat between those few times. So I came home and found some things. I found Jen Stevens' book. I found your book. And I just started at 20 hours. April 21st of last year, I just did 20 and 4. And since that time, I've lost 50 pounds in 365 days. And so I was really glad that that doctor, she had, that's how she had gotten all her weight off too. She said fasting, nothing else had worked for her, but fasting had worked for her. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. But
Fabulous.
it's, I know it's really helped my ankle a lot.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's a lot of weight in a year to lose, Sydney. 50 pounds off your frame as well. And I just wanted to dial back into your backstory there and thank you for the service there in the airport supporting those people. I think that's a very noble job and great career. So thank you for that. But let's just get into it now. So 50 pounds over a year. What's that done for Cindy?
Oh my gosh. Well, I was always a confident person, like I said before, but just the energy, the energy level was incredible. That's kind of what it's done for me. I feel good, and it's kind of really hard to put into words. People can understand, but it's a great feeling. I like the feel. I love fasting. It's hard for me to eat because I'm not hungry. But I have to eat. You have to eat. So, That's been a challenge. Eating enough actually a challenge.
You know, look at that visit to your doctor, you know, catalyst moment, breaking your ankle, putting on the 20 pounds and then going and say to the doctor, look, this is no good. I'm too heavy. I need to do something about it. You discover a doctor that's into intermittent fasting. What are the odds, right? What are the odds, given that, you know, there's still quite a small percentage of doctors worldwide that are up with the science with intermittent fasting. And there you go. And so you rip into it, 20 hours. And what were you eating at the start? Were you eating all the things or were you delaying anything? How did you look at that process on the eating window?
Yeah, I was eating all the things. I'm not, you know, I never really was an overeater. My body just doesn't, well, I did live in Italy for a few times, so probably ate a lot of pasta in a few of those years. We probably ate more carbs than we really needed to. But so basically the doctor said it's genetic. It's nothing that I did or didn't do in my diet, or I always had good cholesterol. I always had good blood pressures, but my dad and my brother, all my family's obese and heavy, but they had 5 quadruple bypasses at 55. And so I was feeling quite proud of myself. I don't know if you say that, but, oh, my heart's good. I didn't have to have these quadruple bypasses, and I'm 64 now. So I was thinking, oh, that's good. So it was quite a shock. I talked to the cardiologist, and the first thing I was worried about when I came out is like, can I still keep fasting? And he said, absolutely. It wouldn't do any harm, or it probably would be good since I've already lost 50 pounds, to go ahead and keep doing what I'm doing. And so I was really happy about that. I'm probably doing more 18-6 than I was 20-4, just because I'm trying to eat more vegetables and like oatmeal and different things like that. So it's hard to get that in 4 hours. So I did an 18-6 for the last couple of weeks, and it's going well. I haven't gained any weight at all. The scale is not going to get down, but I'm not, you know, I think your body has to sit for a while at a weight. So plateaus don't scare me because it's getting used to being that weight. I was 200 pounds for 30 years. It's not going to want to go down really fast. You know, it's going to want to take some time, I think. I don't know science about any of that, but I'm not worried about it.
It is. And, you know, you're right on the average weight loss for intermittent fasting, 0.5 pound to 1 pound a week, year, 50 pounds. You know, and that's what people always say, oh, I've only lost 4 pounds in 5 weeks or 6 weeks, you know. But what they don't realize is that if you really commit to 6 to 12 months and then you multiply that and you're averaging 0.5 pound to 1 pound a week, okay, so 6 months, you're looking at, you know, 24 or 12 pounds. And then over a year, you're looking at 50 pounds or 25 pounds. That's a lot of weight off people's body. I mean, if you went and picked up a 50 pound bag of potatoes and carried it around, you'd be barely able to lift it, right?
I can't lift a 20 pound bag very easily. I'm thinking, how did I do this? You know, you don't really think about it until you do pick that up, and it's like, oh my gosh, that's pretty heavy.
Yeah. So when you come to fasting, right, you started off with that 20-4 after talking to the doctor and that sort of thing, you're eating all the things, and did you know about the clean fasting, or did that come later?
No, I did know about the clean fasting right away, which was good because I had read Jen's book and your book, and I had some other friends who had talked about fasting, and they clean fasted. Pretty excited about that. It really is helpful. It took me a little bit to get used to the black coffee, but it wasn't hard. I have very good coffee. Living in Europe and Italy, I learned to drink really good coffee. So I do make it a little bit weaker when it's black, but I don't drink much tea. So it's mostly water, sparkling water, and black coffee.
I mean, a lot of people talk about the black coffee thing, don't they? And they go, oh, you know, I can't drink coffee black. But here's the thing. You don't need to drink black coffee. No one's forcing you to. You don't have to.
No.
You can wait till your eating window and have the cream or milk or whatever way you have it. Then you simply get through your fast like you're doing by drinking water or sparkling water or that sort of thing. There's no requirement to drink black coffee. And often I read posts in groups and I think, where is a requirement to drink black coffee?
You know, all we're saying is that if you're going to drink coffee while you're fasting, have it black, plain black only. And to me, that makes common sense because you don't want your insulin being spiked by that cream or milk, right? So, well, let's talk about now the last 12 months, 50 pounds coming off your body. Obviously, you've gone down a lot in clothes sizes. And I know for a woman, that's a pretty special thing.
It is. I got rid, as soon as something was baggy, it was gone. I'm not, you know, nothing is staying if it's baggy. I'm getting to where I really need to go clothes shopping, but I'm so this is my dream. I'm doing clothes shopping now at the thrift stores and the Goodwill stores. And next late winter, early spring, we would like to go to Italy for 3 months. Living there, we have friends and people who are like family. And so I'd like to go next February, March, April timeframe to get out of Wyoming in the winter because it's brutal. And I'd like to buy all my wardrobe in Italy because I love Italian clothes. So for another year, I probably will just have secondhand clothes, but I'm thinking by that time I should be in maintenance, whatever that looks like. I don't have a goal. Like I said, I have a range, maybe between 140 and 145 pounds. I don't want to be thin, but I'm sure that would be healthy. So I want to buy all my clothes in Italy.
That's fantastic. Yeah. What a great life you've had. I mean, living around the world and, you know, making friends in a place you can go and spend 3 months escaping the winter there in Wyoming. And that's a great why. And I think, you know, intermittent fasting is a lot about whys, isn't it? And I think when you build those whys and when you have those off days and you really dig into those why am I doing this? Why am I doing this intermittent fasting? And you have all this series of whys. And then on the other side of the page, you have the what ifs. What if I don't do this? Where is my life going to be in 5 years' time? What is my weight going to stop me from doing? And I think when you start writing those things down and journaling and that type of thing, it's quite helpful.
It is helpful. I like to, I play guitar and sing. And so a lot of times I do that for the children's church. And I take my grandkids to Sunday school and we sing and play and just being mobile and active and doing those things, especially after the heart attack, you know, I want to get better to be able to do all of that thing. And my why, it hasn't changed. It's mostly to get better with this ankle. And I think that's a great why. Clothes in Italy is the next why.
Yeah, fabulous. No, that's something to sort of keep you plugged in too. Now, let's talk about the NSVs, the non-scale victories of intermittent fasting. We often, you know, hear people saying, well, you know, I wanted to lose weight, so that's why I started intermittent fasting in the first place. That's the obvious thing. But then all these other things start happening, don't they? So run us through a few of those over the last year for you.
I don't really have a lot of non-scale victories that I can, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. I should probably be more mindful of thinking of those things. Weight is just basically the problem, I think. I know the people have lots and lots of them, but I'm pretty good. I think weight was mostly the catalyst. And I think probably not dying from a heart attack was a non-scale victory.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
50 pounds on that is pretty good.
Man, that's about the best non-scale victory you could have, that you put yourself in a position that you're able to survive. I mean, nobody wants that to happen to them, right? But the fact that you've already lost 50 pounds and bang, along comes a heart attack and you survive it. On, you know, you don't know if you had that 50 pounds on your body, how difficult that would have been for your heart to cope with that situation.
Oh, so, absolutely. Yeah, that would have
I think
been
that's
horrible.
A pretty huge non-scale victory myself. And I think, you know, people often miss those little things. It's like, you know, oh, I'm able to do that now. I don't have that 50 pounds on my body. I'm able to bend down and tie up my shoelaces. I'm able to do things. When I'm singing, I'm not getting puffed out at the church, strumming the guitar and singing a song because I don't have the 50 pounds on my body. They're probably little things that you miss. Mm-hmm. Don't worry, I won't put you on the spot and get you
good
to get
idea.
The guitar out and sing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, Graham knows my non-skill victories better than I do. I guess I just don't think about those things. But yeah, it does. It's I like to just be at home and sing for myself. Well, you know, my husband's probably in the other room listening, but I do notice that I can go longer, and it's not as winded. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, it's a good non-scale victory, but I do have some skin tags, and that was the one non-scale victory I wanted, to have the skin tags gone, but they're still here. But that's okay. I earned them all. And I grew up in the desert, so I have lots of brown spots on my skin, and they're still here. But those are signs of having a good life.
Absolutely. You know, and like I was saying to you before, I mean, intermittent fasting can help with a lot of things, but there's often some things it won't. And, you know, I think people sometimes are clutching at straws, and we just need to be realistic and be thankful for what happens. And I think a lot of the non-scale victories that come from intermittent fasting are directly related to weight loss. And I know they were for me, things like, you know, getting the psoriasis off my body. But that was more about the nutrition that I was eating and coming off the base of being a sugar addict and a fast food addict and getting that crap out of my life and changing all of that. And now that after the heart attack, and you're starting to be more mindful about your food now, are you finding that you're looking into nutrition a bit more than maybe you were before?
Absolutely. I read every label. We didn't eat out a lot, but now it's very, very seldom. I love to cook, and so it's easy to make good meals. Like tonight, we just had a chicken sausage kale Greek stew, which, you know, and there was no pasta, there was no potatoes, nothing like that. Just a good vegetable. Chicken sausage has less sodium and less fat than beef, of course. And I'm just doing those things. And my husband, he'll eat whatever I fix. So he's very easy to cook for. Trying to get more fruits and vegetables in. I don't know why I love them, but it's just hard. It was hard to get them in for some reason, but now it's not. It's like, okay, we're going to make sure we have a piece of fruit, and we're going to make sure we have some vegetables, and we'll have two or three meatless meals. I don't want to be a vegetarian, because I do like some meat, but we've been having beef like maybe every 2 weeks, or some lamb every 2 weeks, just, you know, not as much red meat. We have a hard time getting good produce in the winter here in Wyoming. So I travel down to Colorado, actually. Fort Collins is a nice city in Colorado. It's only like 45 minutes away, but they have really nice produce. It doesn't seem like 45 miles would be so far for produce. So I go there and buy good fresh kale, good fresh spinach, and different vegetables. We like artichokes. We like any green, really, we do like. So that's been really helpful to have access. I was a little spoiled in Italy. And being from California, yeah, you probably have good produce where you live.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can grow our own too, of course. And
yeah,
we grow a lot of our own vegetables. And I always encourage people to do that if it's possible, you know, depending on your climate and that sort of thing and soil type and whatever. But we grow a lot of our vegetables in raised gardens and vegetable bins. And, you know, we have extreme heat here in the summer, and my wife plants tomatoes, and we have wonderful lettuce and kale, and, you know, you name it, she plants it. And, you know, let's face it, vegetables are getting expensive to buy at the supermarket these days. So if you can grow it, why not? And I always encourage people. And I think that's part of the journey with intermittent fasting too, is learning about these things and learning about the foods and discovering new foods. I mean, you're probably eating food now that you probably didn't used to eat before, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's true. Well, but especially the whole grains, we're making sure they're like whole good grains, like farro and quinoa and things like that. You know, I never thought about putting a really nice marinara or tomato sauce on anything but a spaghetti noodle, but it tastes really good on a farro kernel, or even with zucchini noodles. You know, if you make those, it's just something to hold the sauce, and it's very satisfying and very good flavors.
Are you also finding that you're sort of getting more information about fasting? And just tell us about some of the support networks that you have, where you get support from your journey. Obviously, your lovely husband supports you and your family, but just some other support networks as well.
So I listen to podcasts, and there's one, I think it's called Fasting for Life. It's these two guys. They just talk about studies and science. They don't have, it's not encouraging, like listening to the people, but they're very knowledgeable, and a lot of the science behind some of the fasting things. I really enjoy listening to them. I like Jen Stevens' podcasts, your podcast, and I keep really busy listening to podcasts. I mean, I do things while you listen to them. That's the beauty of a podcast. You just put your headphones on and you can do whatever you want to do.
What will we do without podcasts? I haven't listened to a radio station, I reckon, in the car I'm talking about, or at home. I haven't listened to a normal radio station probably for 7 to 10 years because I just started listening to podcasts. And when I walk, I listen to podcasts, but I don't always listen about fasting podcasts because, as you can imagine, I'm well immersed in this community. So sometimes I need that break to listen to other stuff. So I listen to a lot of sport podcasts, and people know I'm into rugby and that sort of stuff. So, you know, you have to get that sort of a break from it as well. But sometimes I walk with nothing. I just listen to nature and the birds, and I think that's wonderful as well. And I think sometimes we can get too connected in the digital world. And, you know, and I say to people when they're eating, and, you know, eating watching TV became a thing, didn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I always encourage people not to watch TV while they're eating and concentrate on what they're doing and just turn the TV off, turn your phone off, put your phone away, get it away from you, because a lot of people will sit there while they're eating and watch TV, or they look at their phone and they're not actually concentrating on the meal. And I think that's really helpful. Just when you go to bed at night, maybe putting the phone away and just, you know, relaxing and having some thoughts and reflection on the day, because that really helps disconnecting from that world syndrome.
One of the things that I didn't do it a lot, probably more than I should have, is to eat in the car. So I don't eat in the car anymore at all. Maybe twice a week I'd stop at the fast food when I was working or something, but I'd eat it in the car for some reason. So when I started fasting, I said, I'm not going to snack at all. I'm only going to eat at the table. And if I want a dessert or something sweet, it's going to be at the end of the meal. It's not going to be later. And I think that's helped a lot. What do they call that? Time restricted eating or something. So if I open with a small, maybe cottage cheese or some nuts, and then later I have a sit at the table and I have the meal. And I think that's helped a lot to not eat in my car. Water or coffee in the car. That's all that can go in the car.
You know, eating in your car is probably one of the most soul-destroying things you can do. You know, if you have a problem like what I had with sugar and fast food, and you're hiding it from your family, your closet eating, because let's face it, hey, it's in the car. It's your sanctuary. No one can see you, right? But I think car eating can really pile up the weight. And I think that's one of the great things about fasting, is that I don't eat in the car and I really enjoy my meal and I like to sit down and have it. So it's almost an experience, isn't it, Cindy? Like actually enjoying the meal now.
It is. And, you know, I just really enjoy it. I don't like look forward. It's like, oh, I'm going to eat soon, because I enjoy the fasting part so much. But I do want, I mean, I take the time to make this meal. I know it's going to nourish me and it just tastes good. I'm not distracted. We eat fairly early. I like to open my window at about noon. And I like to be done by about 2:30 or 3. That comes from living in Italy too, because they eat most of their big meal at noon or 1 o'clock. And I always liked that. And so now that we're both retired, I can do that. And so we do that. We eat early.
Yeah. And that's, and living in Italy, of course, you would know in the summer there, the promenading, where the Italians will have, they eat quite late and then you'll see them strolling, right? Taking an evening walk, or what they call a beautiful walk or promenading. And I think that really helps to cap that insulin spike. And I think that's a real hack for people out there, that after you've had your main meal of the day, is go and make some movement, like, you know, 15 minutes later after you've finished, whether it be a walk or whether it be a stroll around the garden, whether it be doing some chair yoga, whether it be doing something on YouTube, a virtual walk or whatever, standing on a treadmill or a vibration plate, just some form of movement for 5 or 10 minutes after that meal's finished. And I really think that helps in capping that insulin spike, Cindy.
I think so too. I think it's...
And talking about support, just dialing back into that, of course, you're a member of our Patreon community. One of the things I really enjoy are the Zoom meetings, of course, and to see people face-to-face and have that camaraderie and that community and all those people on those calls. And you've seen the progress people have made. And I think the Patreon community has been fantastic for that support.
I think anyone who's not a member of the Patreon ought to get right there and do it like this hour. I think it, you know, I was thinking about it and it's less than a cup of coffee at a Starbucks to join the Patreon. It's so reasonably priced and I have found so much value in it. Just to have the people on the Zooms, I've made like three of the Zooms and I was so sad the Zoom I couldn't make. And I just love it. It's fantastic. And if you're not a member, you need to get there right away and be a member.
You know, I'm really glad that you got the support from your family and your husband and all of that, because I think that's important. But what about exercise, Cindy? Are you moving into some exercise now?
Yes, I am. I was exercising before. I was swimming and then I broke my ankle and then I didn't exercise for a really long time. And then I started exercising about 6 months ago, just doing some walking and swimming. And then I had the heart attack and I couldn't exercise for like 6 weeks. But now this is such a blessing. I get cardio rehab. It's 3 days a week, 36 sessions, and they monitor you as you're working to get your heart better. And then they have a program afterwards that you pay a little monthly fee and you can go there for the rest of your life. And for me, having an appointment to do something is so much better than just saying, oh yeah, I'm going to ride my bike or I'm going to take a walk. No, at 8:30 on Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, I need to go to the cardio rehab. I think that's what I'm going to be doing and walking on my own some as well. But schedule for me, I think is really going to be beneficial.
Yeah, yeah, I think the 50 pounds off your body will really help as well and will actually make you feel absolutely like you want to go and do it. Because if you're carrying an extra 50 pounds, sometimes it can be a drag going for a walk, can't it?
It can be. Yeah, especially when I had plantar that's a non-scale victory. So I had plantar fasciitis before I broke my ankle and that has gone away. That's I just remembered. That's a big one because that's painful. And so it's not painful to walk at all. So yeah, that was a big non-scale victory.
Well, plantar fasciitis is something I've heard people talk about many, many times in this podcast, you know, yeah, and it's amazing the number of non-scale victories, you know, the scarring, people from accidents, you know, women that have given childbirth and had cesarean sections, their scars fading, all that type of stuff. And people with hair regrowth. And it's just crazy some of the things you hear. And sometimes I scratch my head and, you know, and when if I can write a new book about non-scale victories, there's just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them. So I really want to stress about intermittent fasting just isn't about weight loss. It's so much more, Cindy, I think.
Right. Well, for me, it is so much more. It's I love being in control of what I'm eating and not worrying about food. That control is probably worth more than even losing weight. I don't plan to ever not fast. It's going to be my lifestyle. I've fasted 372 days in a row, at least 14 hours. And it's just been fantastic, Graham. I'm so glad that doctor told me about it. I don't know where I'd be if might've had a heart attack and died. But who knows? I don't know what the plan is, but I'm certainly glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad you're here too. I mean, you know, you wise now, you're talking about your trip to Italy next year. So you're looking forward in life now, right? And obviously longevity and mobility in particular, because, you know, when you travel and you see these people, they're walking on walking frames, they're carrying oxygen bottles, and you just go, oh my goodness, I just don't want to be like that. And for me, that's a huge motivation to get healthy and stay healthy and maintain my weight loss. And because I do a lot of traveling and I see that, and it makes me so sad, Cindy. And I think you've set yourself up for longevity here, right?
Yes, I think so. I was so kind of jealous when I was listening to you being in Paris. Paris is one of my favorite cities too. It's like, oh man, I can't wait to get back there. But you do, I don't want to be the traveler, you know, that can only go for like 20 minutes and then has to sit down. And I, you know, as long as I can travel, that's what we want to do. And our anniversary our 44th anniversary, our 45th anniversary is next April. And I think we're going to go to Greece for 2 weeks of that time that we're in Italy for that anniversary. And I want to be able to walk all of those ruins and just, you know, get my 20,000 steps in a day. So that's kind of what I'm working towards with this cardio rehab, to get up to 15, 20,000 steps. I mean, not every day, of course, but while you're on those vacations, you want to be able to do that.
Congratulations on 45 years. That's some innings, I'll say, with one person. That's fantastic.
Yeah, it's been a good ride.
Yeah, good on them. Big shout out to your husband and thank you for supporting your wife. But Cindy, I can't tell you how motivational you are, and I really congratulate you on your journey thus far. And, you know, thank you for being a very inspiring member of the group and the Patreon community. I love to see you on the Zooms because I think you really help other people as well. But if you're sitting around there in Wyoming and some folks were saying to you, listen, Cindy, you look amazing, and you do, how do we do this and how do we go about it? What would be some of the words of wisdom that you might know now that you didn't when you began?
The words of wisdom, in fact, I get a lot of people at my church, they say, what are you doing? You've lost weight. You look great. It's like, I feel like saying, did I look bad before? But that's not what they mean. you do look healthier when you're trimmer and you don't have a lot of fat on you. I just tell them that take it one day at a time. Don't rush. Don't be in a hurry. And just live your life in thinking about other things instead of food. Pastor, actually, he lost 50 pounds during intermittent fasting as well. So, you know, it's out there, and there's quite a few people that are starting to get really interested, and I'm excited for them. But take it one fast at a time. Don't compare yourself to others and keep busy.
Yeah, I think that's a really important message. And I get sad when I see people comparing themselves to others. Well, they say things like, well, what's your protocol? Well, what does it matter what their protocol is? Because what they do may not suit you, because they may be doing other things in the background. They might be doing different type of exercise. They might have a totally different DNA makeup. They might be doing a totally different food regime to you. They might be eating very different foods and drinking different things. They may not be drinking alcohol. You may be. So comparison is really pointless. And, you know, this is your journey. This is an experiment of one. So instead of comparing to others, just forge your own journey. Certainly get inspired by people that have done it before you and that sort of thing. But, you know, when you're sort of trying to settle into this, find your own pathway is what I say. But Cindy, as I said, I can't wait to talk to you, and maybe we'll interview you live in Italy next year in the U Close.
Oh, that would be fantastic.
Well, there's something to look forward to, but thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Graham, thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. We'll see you soon.
Okay, cheers. Oh, thank you so much, Cindy, and thank you for coming on to the Fasting Highway podcast and sharing your amazing journey with us. I look forward to talking to you in 6 to 12 months' time to see where you're up to with your intermittent fasting journey, but truly a remarkable first year for you, and also really grateful that you survived that health scare. The world's a better place for you, isn't it? And I look forward to seeing where it takes you, intermittent fasting, in the next 6 to 12 months. Okay, everybody, as mentioned at the top of the podcast there, it's brought to you by our Patreon members community. And I really suggest that you give it some thought if you're not a member of the Patreon community. It's been fantastic. Not only the Zoom meetings that we hold each month for accountability, but just also the extra bonus podcasts, the discussion topics, the audio series have been very well received by our members. It's just another layer of accountability and support for your intermittent fasting lifestyle. And it really is fantastic to get that back for your support of the Patreon, which helps us bring you the podcast each and every week, and also helps us have the time to be able to work on the Fasting Highway Facebook group and advocate for IF and the international IF community. Okay, folks, also, as mentioned, if you want to get hold of my own story, you can find that in my book, The Fasting Highway. You can find that on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. Yes, there is an audio version, which you'll find on Apple Books or audiobooks.com, Kobo, Spotify, and many other audiobooks platforms. You'll be able to find that version of The Fasting Highway. Okay, folks, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.